Holy Spirit, that you are with us, for the time that we have had in focusing our hearts, our minds, and our spirits on you in worship and pouring out our love before you. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you would come, and over the next 20 minutes or so, that your anointing would rest upon me, that I would be full of grace and truth in Jesus' name. I pray that there would be a spirit of wisdom and revelation that would rest upon what I'm about to teach and share this morning, that we might know you in a greater way. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we continue this week in our series that we've been doing, Hot Topics, I'm going to talk today about pro-life and abortion. Abortion is literally an issue that splits our nation. In 2018, there was a poll that reported 48% of our nation was pro-life, and 48% of our nation was pro-choice, and 5% literally had no opinion on one side or the other. We are literally a divided nation when it comes to abortion and pro-life. I want to give you just a few fairly recent statistics on abortion in America. Since 1973, and this statistic runs until 2018, there have been over 61.8 million total abortions in America. In 2017, there was almost 900,000 abortions that took place in America, which means that there is 2,362 abortions that happen every single day, which is 1.6 aborted babies every single minute. Now, these statistics, these only include surgical and medical abortions. There is also an additional estimated 14 million chemical abortions, which is an abortion by the way of medicine, that occur in the United States each and every year. Now these, when we just present the statistics, are startling, especially when you look beyond the numbers, and you don't just see the numbers, but you look beyond the numbers and realize that every number is a baby, and every number is a mother. Regardless of my personal opinion on abortion or your personal opinion on abortion, I suggest what's more important than my opinion or your opinion or the thoughts of whatever political party that you follow, what's more important than that is to know, what does God think about it? Albert Einstein once said, "I want to know God's thoughts. The rest are just details." So today, I give you the top 10 ways that we know God is pro-life. We're going to move kind of quickly through these because there's 10, so if you're taking notes, write fast. Number 10, Jesus came to bring life. John chapter 10 and verse 10 says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full," or have it abundantly. Now this, I understand, is specifically speaking of salvation life, but even in salvation, God wasn't just simply concerned with our spirit alone, because that Greek word for salvation or saved refers to the redemption of body, soul, and spirit. Jesus didn't just come to give life to our spirits, but he came to give life to our whole person, our entire being. And throughout his ministry on earth, Jesus confronted death many times, and even stood outside the tomb of Lazarus before he raised Lazarus from the dead, and he wept. He wasn't weeping and crying because Lazarus had died. He was weeping and crying for the effect that death has on people. Jesus brings life. Number 9, we are called to be rescuers. In Proverbs chapter 24, verses 11 through 12, it says this: "Rescue those who are being taken away to death. Hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, 'Behold, we did not know this,' does not he who weighs the heart perceive it?" Speaking of God. "Does not he who keeps watch over your soul know it? And will he not repay man according to his work?" So we, God's sons and daughters are told to be the ones that are rescuing those being taken away to death and taken away to slaughter. But not only are we told to rescue them, but we are also held accountable for what we do, if we do or do not rescue. We cannot bury our head in the sand being oblivious to the death and slaughter of millions of babies, because that does not excuse our responsibility. God values life enough to command his people to be rescuers of it. Number 8, accidental death of an unborn child is condemned in the law of Moses. Check this out. Exodus chapter 21, verses 22 and 23 says, "Now suppose two men are fighting, and in the process they accidentally strike a pregnant woman so she gives birth prematurely. If no further injury results, the man who struck the woman must pay the amount of compensation the woman's husband demands and the judges approve. But if there is further injury, the punishment must match the injury, a life for a life." Now, in Hebrew, that phrase that we read here where it says gives birth prematurely, that can literally mean miscarriage, but actually in its most literal sense, what it means is so her children come out. So in the process of two men fighting, if they hit a pregnant woman, so her children come out, is what that literally means. So it's not clear if this is the death of the baby or if it's a premature birth where the baby still lives. But this verse can be interpreted that the premature birth demands restitution, and miscarriage where there is death of an unborn baby is life for life. So if this is how God feels about the accidental death of an unborn child, what about the intentional killing of them? Number 7, you must not murder. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 13. It's one of the Ten Commandments, and it doesn't get much clearer than this. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, if you're not familiar with him, he is a German theologian that strongly opposed Hitler and the Nazi regime until they executed him. He said this about abortion: "The simple fact is that God intended to create a human being, and this human being has been deliberately deprived of his life. That is nothing short but murder." Number 6, the life of the unborn baby belongs to God. Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 4, the prophet writes, "Behold, all souls or lives are mine. The soul or life of the father as well as the soul or life of the son is mine. The soul who sins will die." So pro-choice is often spoken of as the right that a woman has to control her own body and to control her own health. Now, I'm not here today to refute that, because I do believe that every woman has the right to control and have choice and say over her own body and over her own health. What I am saying is the unborn baby is not her body. See, babies have distinct DNA. They have distinct fingerprints. And sometimes, many times, they have different blood types than the mother. See, pregnancy is not splitting one body into two. It is one body carrying and nurturing a second or more. So Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14, he says, "Yet the body is not for immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord is for the body." He goes on to say in verse 19, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own?" Our bodies belong to the Lord, as do unborn babies. Number 5, babies with disabilities are created by God and have equal value. There's a story in the book of John, chapter 9, verses 1 through 12, of a man who was born blind, and the disciples see this man, they begin to question Jesus, and they want to know whose sin caused this man's blindness. And this is how Jesus responds, and this is taken from the Message translation. He says, "You're asking the wrong question. You're looking for someone to blame. There is no such cause effect here. Look instead for what God can do." Why is one baby born with disabilities and one born healthy? Isn't the right question to ask, but the question to ask is, how can God display his power and his glory and his majesty through the incredible life that he has given, disability or not? Disabilities do not decrease value. All babies and all people have equal value and are created by God just the same. Number four, the unborn baby is a person. Psalms 139, verses 13 through 16 says, "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was even born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed." Not only did God form with his very hands each baby, he also already knows them. He sees them, and he has their life recorded in his book all before the baby ever leaves the womb. It's not even possible for us to wrap our minds around that before a baby ever exits the womb, God already has their life written down in his book, because he is all-knowing and he already knows. God tells the prophet Jeremiah, "I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations." See, God not only knows us before we are born, but he sets us apart for himself for specific purposes. God speaks about the unborn person, unborn baby, as a person. He's already got a plan for their life and purposes and things for them to do and accomplish. Number three, human life begins at conception. When Mary became pregnant with Jesus, she went to go see her cousin Elizabeth, who was also pregnant with who we now know as John the Baptist. And in Luke chapter 1, Mary walks into the home and Mary greets Elizabeth. And it says that that baby John leaps for joy in Elizabeth's womb. You have an unborn baby John reacting to his external environment and the presence of the unborn baby Jesus, the Messiah, who just walked into the room. And may I simply add that the unborn baby Jesus is younger, so to say, than John, because John was born first. See, this is life. King David writes in Psalms 51 and verse 5, he says, "I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." See, David acknowledges that he was a sinner by nature from the very moment he came into existence, and his existence began at conception. Number two, humans are made in the image of God. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27 says, "God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." Humans alone are made in God's image. Humans alone are created with the very hands of God. The rest of creation was simply spoken into existence, but here God grabs dirt and dust from the ground and he makes man. See, there is sacredness in being crafted and created in the very image of God, the Creator, unlike any other part of creation. See, we all carry, as humans, we carry the very image of God. Every man, every woman, every child, every unborn child. We are all made in the image of God. The number one way that we know that God is pro-life is because that all human life is sovereignly given by God. Job chapter 10, verses 10 through 12 says this, "You guided my conception and formed me in the womb. You clothed me with skin and flesh, and you knit me together. You knit my bones and sinews together. You gave me life, showed me your unfailing love, and my life was preserved by your care." I want you to think for a moment about the sovereignty of conception, because Job says that God guides it. And we know this. So what I'm going to say is not like, whoa, it's like Captain Obvious. But sometimes we need to be reminded of the obvious. Not every occasion of sexual intercourse produces conception. Only the ones that God guides. It's not by chance. It's not a mistake. It's life sovereignly given by God. David writes in Psalms 127 and verse 3 that children are a gift from the Lord. All children, all children, all unborn babies are gifts given by God. So if we know that God is pro-life and we, as his sons and daughters, are his representatives on the earth, then wouldn't it make sense for us to be pro-life too? Now clearly, I want to make this very clear. I know my platform and my launching place here was abortion. But pro-life is more than simply abortion. It is pro-life from the womb to the tomb. Pro-life is pro-all life, not just babies. If you believe in being pro-life when it comes to abortion, but have different views when it comes to things like capital punishment or euthanasia or the rights of those with extreme disabilities, if you've got different viewpoints on that, then I ask. I want to suggest that maybe you re-examine your views through the lens of Scripture. Because is God simply pro-life when it comes to babies? Or is he pro-all life, womb to tomb? Now, I know and understand that I am just simply scratching the surface of this conversation, of this topic, and we do not have the time to delve into all of the, you know, well, what about this situation and that situation, and what about the ethics? And you know what I do understand, though, is we do not have situational ethics. I'm encouraging us to seek God's heart. Ask for him to show you. Ask for him to teach you and to reveal to you his thoughts on the sanctity of life. All life. Womb to tomb. So as I close, there's two things I want to say. If you're listening and you have had an abortion or you lobbied for your spouse or a partner to have an abortion, you need to know and understand that Jesus is here to remove all guilt and to remove all shame. There is forgiveness for you, and there is healing for your pain. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 says, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Today, come to him with all of your pain and allow him to wrap his arms around you and to hold you tight. I want you to do two things. One, if that's you, and you've had an abortion, or you supported someone that has had an abortion, and you're feeling the pain of that, then I want you to text the word prayer to 619-464-3077 so we can confidentially have one of our prayer team reach out to you and spend some time in prayer with you. Confidentially. The other thing I want to tell you about is an event, and that graphic is going to go up if you're watching the live stream right now. It's called Forgiven and Set Free. And on September the 25th, so this week at 6 p.m. in El Cajon at Prescott Promenade, which is on the main street of El Cajon, they are having a time of sharing and talking about healing post-abortion. And they have a post-abortion healing and advocate who's going to be speaking. And there's several speakers, and one of the speakers is a spiritual son of mine and Renee's. And he works with the pregnancy care clinic who's putting this on. And so I want to encourage you, if that's you, or if you know somebody that's carrying the weight and the pain of an abortion, I want to strongly encourage you to go to this event, to get around people and hear the stories of healing, of redemption, of being set free, of being made whole. Sometimes we just need to hear about it and allow and be around people who've walked that walk, that we can receive our own healing. If you're watching the live stream, the other thing that you're going to find now is that there is a graphic that we've put together that simply says, I am pro-life, womb to tomb. And this is my encouragement to you today. This is kind of the challenge to you and to me. I'm going to do this, and you'll notice it across all of Crosspoint social media, that I want you to take that graphic and I want you to set that as your profile picture for one day, just one day. Because we cannot just simply be pro-life in belief. We have to be pro-life in our action. We have to be pro-life in our stance. And as I've already talked about, we can't just be pro-life when it comes to abortion, but it's pro-all life, from the womb to the tomb. So I want to challenge you. Make the statement. This is going to be a statement for us as a church. This is going to be a statement towards our friends and our families that we believe in life, all life. And it's time for us not just to be pro-life in belief, but it's time for us to be pro-life in statements and in action. I am pro-life, womb to tomb. Are you? If you are, I challenge you. Set your profile picture to that graphic that you'll find in the comments of our live stream. Let me pray. Father, I thank you that mercy triumphs over judgment. I thank you that your arm is not too short to save. That there is no one that is too far gone that you cannot reach out, take hold of them, and draw them back into your family, regardless of what they have done. So Holy Spirit, I pray for everyone who's listening right now that you would minister to them, that you would love on them. God, if they're listening and they're like, I don't know if I'm pro-life. I don't know if I believe what's being presented and being taught today. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would teach them. It is promised that you will lead us into all truth. So I ask, Holy Spirit, lead us into the truth of what it means to live pro-life, womb to tomb. And for those who have had an abortion or have supported someone who has had an abortion, I pray for healing. I pray for healing of their heart. I pray for healing, God, that you restore them. Father, wrap your arms around them. Whisper in their ear. Tell them how much you love them, how much you care for them, and how you can make things right, that you can bring healing to them. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, family. We look forward to seeing you again next week as we continue our series on Hot Topics. God bless.